Radio Prague News.
Hazardous sulfur oxide that leaked from oil lagoons in the east of the country is threatening the health of local inhabitants both in Ostrava and nearby Bohumín. The number of bankruptcies declared in the Czech Republic will hit 1,870 in 2011, according to an industry survey. A police sweep of bars, restaurants and gambling venues in Rumburk, North Bohemia, has uncovered 14 cases of abuse of social benefits. Hazardous sulfur oxide that leaked from oil lagoons in Ostrava is threatening the health of local inhabitants both in Ostrava and nearby Bohumín, the CTK news agency reported. According to the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute, the concentration of pollutants exceeded permitted levels 12-fold over the weekend. Daniel Gruza, deputy head of the Czech Environmental Inspection, confirmed the leak from the oil lagoon, saying it had reportedly occurred during a cleaning process. The polluter faces a fine of up to 7 million crowns. Sulfur oxides, especially SO2 and SO3, are one of the main air pollutants in municipal areas all over the world. High concentrations of the substance can damage the respiratory system. The number of bankruptcies declared in the Czech Republic will hit 1,870 in 2011, an increase of 186 cases compared to the previous year. The news was revealed by the CTK news agency on Monday, citing a report by credit insurance firm Euler Hermes. In 2012, the number is expected to decrease again, but problems in some fields are expected. A member of the executive board stressed uncertainties in the field of construction, as well as in steel manufacturing. Electronic goods manufacturers also face difficulties next year due to heavy competition combined with a drop in consumer demand. According to the study, bankruptcies in the Czech Republic were far lower in 2008, paradoxically just as the country experienced the first impact of the global financial crisis. A police sweep of bars, restaurants and gambling venues in Rumburk, North Bohemia at the weekend uncovered 14 cases of abuse of social benefits by recipients found consuming alcohol or playing slot machines. One of the people reportedly included a 23-year-old mother who had left her 4-year-old daughter unattended and asleep at home. The news was revealed by a spokeswoman for the town hall who said in addition to the 14 cases, 4 underage drinkers were caught, 2 of them just 12 years old. Those abusing social benefits can't lose them, say sources, but the authorities can limit funds by issuing smaller amounts on a daily basis. 42 police officers and other officials took part in the weekend sweep in Rumburk, a town hit by social strife and increased ethnic tension in recent weeks. Jiří Paroubek, a former prime minister and former chairman of the Social Democrats, has confirmed that he will leave the party he led up until the 2010 national election. The Social Democrats came first last year, but with a far slimmer margin than had been previously expected, leaving them unable to find a partner to form a viable coalition. The same day, Mr. Paroubek, who is an MP for the party, stepped down. The former party chairman indicated at the signing of his new book on Monday that his departure was only a matter of days. Earlier it was thought Mr. Paroubek would join the extra-parliamentary Czech National Social Party, but there has also been speculation in the Czech media he may found a new party on the Czech political scene. I'm Jan Velinger, and that's all the news for now.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. In today's programme, there are warnings that right-wing extremist groups are better organised now than before measures designed to curb their popularity were introduced. We'll attempt to answer the question, why? And in a related one-on-one, minority campaigner Gwendolyn Albert cast doubt on government race relations initiatives.
My view is that what they're very good at, not just this government, but most of the preceding ones, is developing strategies that look very good on paper.
More on that coming up, and also we'll have a look back on the career of Jiří Suchý. The singer has turned 80 years old. This is Radio Prague. Please stay tuned. The special Czech police squad for fighting organised crime has warned that ultra-right groupings in the country have been gathering strength and are now better organised and more active than before the 2010 clampdown on extremism. The Workers' Party, banned by a court ruling in 2010, has successfully regrouped into the Workers' Party of Social Justice, and ultra-right activists are making an all-out effort to use the present wave of anti-Romani sentiment in the north of the country to their best advantage. So far, the public has shown little sign of supporting them, but does that mean that there is no potential for extremism in the Czech Republic? A question for Klára Kalibová, a lawyer who specialises in hate crime. She spoke to my colleague Daniela Lazarová.
The far right really is not supported by the general Czech public. We don't see the situation as in, for example, Hungary. The far right parties or movement is much more supported by the general public. But what we see here is that the mainstreaming political parties have somehow adapted ways how to approach the general public similarly as a far right, meaning that the middle class and mainstreaming political parties are in fact dealing, for example, the Romani issue the same way as a far right in some ways. Therefore, the general public tends to support these mainstreaming political parties more because they don't want to be seen as neo-Nazis. But the core of the issue is the same. So the answer to your question is that yes, the far right now really lacks a charismatic leader. But on the other hand, if there is a leader in, for example, Social Democrats or Christian Democrats, which will discuss Romani issues or add some racial epithets, he or she will definitely gain a general support of general public.
Is this form not more dangerous even in that it is hidden, so to speak?
Yeah, it's definitely more dangerous, and I would warn against this, because right now what we have seen is that the police and the law enforcement agencies are still focused on far-right movements instead of being focused on mainstream, on the middle class, where the similar racial attacks or incidents appears as well. So it's definitely more dangerous to have racism and anti-Roma behavior, in particular in the middle class, than in far-right movement.
How serious do you see the situation in the north of the country in this respect? Do you think it will increase racism in the Czech Republic, or at least in the north of the country, and maybe give birth to more racist politicians, as you describe them?
Definitely it may, and not only in the northern Bohemia, but also in other parts of the Czech Republic, because right now we perceive tensions across the Czech society. The situation in northern Bohemia is of social exclusion and poverty, but what we should expect from law enforcement agencies is an answer, an immediate answer to any kind of criminality and to criminality motivated by hatred in particular. And if we, as a civil society, don't see that, we should demand it. Because if the police lacks the proper answer, then people will turn to, for example, far-right movements or any other radical movement to solve the situation. Because what I, as a lawyer, perceive right now is lack of trust in the police and in the legal system as a whole. So this is the threat to democracy, that the people who feel endangered may really turn to far-right movement or to any other politic who will offer them an immediate solution, immediate and visible solution.
That report was by Daniela Lazarová. You're listening to Radio Prague.
Stalo se módou sezóny do nepravostí rázně temat. Kaiser rock této fazóny mě ale nikdy.
The popular Czech actor, singer, songwriter, playwright, painter, screenwriter and director Jiří Suchý turned 80 on Saturday. In top form, the living legend of Czech theatre received standing ovations at a special concert he held to celebrate his birthday at Prague's Semaphore Theatre. Pavla Horáková has more.
The multi-talented artist and performer Jiří Suchý has long been a household name in this country. Generations of Czechs hummed the hits he co-wrote with composer Jiří Šlitr, the other half of the 1960s comic duo which produced hundreds of songs featured in musicals and films. Born on October 1, 1931, Jiří Suchý co-founded the Semaphore Theatre in Prague in 1959. The theatre soon achieved a cult status, produced some of the biggest pop hits and launched the careers of many a Czech singer and actor. The golden era came to an abrupt end after the untimely death of Jiří Šlitr in 1969. After some deliberation, Suchý decided to carry on with their work. However, he fell from grace after he signed a document supporting the anti-communist opposition, and much of his work was blacklisted by the authorities. He was forced to step down as director of Semaphore, a post he returned to after 1989. But the free market environment brought new challenges, and his theatre repeatedly experienced financial difficulties. It was put to the biggest test in 2002 when its premises were destroyed by the catastrophic floods that hit the Czech capital. But Jiří Suchý never gave up and continued writing new plays and performing. After more than 50 years on stage, Jiří Suchý has no plans to retire. Having premiered a new musical recently, he has now kicked off a special concert tour around the Czech Republic to mark his 80th birthday.
Krajina posedlá tmou,
krajina posedlá tmou,
vzpomínky do sedla zvou,
vzpomínky do sedla zvou,
nutí mě vrátit se tam,
nutí mě vrátit se tam,
kde budu na věky sám,
kde budu na věky sám,
kde místo úsměvů tvých čeká jen řada snů zlých. A místo lásky nás dvou,
a místo lásky nás dvou,
krajina posedlá tmou.
So it's happy 80th birthday to Jiří Suchý. That report was from Pavla Horáková. You're listening to Radio Prague, where it's time now for our interview programme, One on One. And in light of recent ethnic tensions in North Bohemia, Jan Richter speaks to the Roma rights advocate Gwendolyn Albert.
The Czech Republic recently saw an outbreak of tensions between the country's Romani minority and parts of the majority population. People in the isolated northern Bohemian region of Šluknov began holding anti-Romani rallies to protest growing crime rates in the region. The government reacted by sending in the police, but also by adopting a plan to tackle the issue of Romani exclusion and impoverishment. To discuss what's happening in the Czech Republic, I'm joined in the studio by Gwendolyn Albert from the United States, who's been, for the past 20 years or so, living in the Czech Republic and working for the Romani advocacy group Roma. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
First of all, Gwendolyn, I'd like to ask, what exactly is happening in northern Bohemia? Is the conflict primarily ethnic or social? How would you describe it in terms people abroad could understand?
I think one of the basic problems in that area is that it has been neglected in terms of economic development for the past 20 years. So you have a large number of people who are unemployed, and they don't see a future for themselves. This is probably the key to the problem. What's new about this is that these events have involved local people, people of all ages, people bringing their children out to the square to sing the national anthem and then yell, "Let's go get 'em," and march on the parts of towns that are easily identifiable as the Roma ghetto, basically. So this is a culmination of several factors, including the fact that Romani people basically live in a segregated situation in most of this country. It's, over the past 20 years, become more and more sort of a petite apartheid situation where it's, you know where the Roma part of town is, and that makes it easy if you want to use them as the scapegoat for your own frustrations to go and target them.
The media sort of presented the events in northern Bohemia in a particular way that sort of fueled what came next even more. The Economist noted recently the similarities between the language of the Third Reich and the way Czech politicians and media refer about this.
I think the media wants to increased readership, and it knows that if it describes things as dramatically as possible, it will increase its readership, it will increase the numbers of people following what it's reporting on. And so by unnecessarily mentioning the ethnicities of people involved in criminal incidents, that's one way to definitely increase the readership. The other problem is that generally we have seen since about 2006 in Czech society an ever rightward push in the general discourse. So when in the general discourse it's normal for people to use this term nepřizpůsobivý, which means inadaptable, and is basically from the Nazi era, this is sort of a way of referring to the Roma without referring to the Roma, if you understand me. It doesn't involve an ethnic designation. And that is standard use now in everyone's discourse. The Czech press agency releases press releases without quotation marks around that term. So this is a real challenge for the media. If this is the language the society is speaking, what can the media do? How can the media make sure that they're reporting about what is actually taking place, but not inflame the tensions? And this is where we see, you know, the real irresponsibility of many online venues. Also, the point of view of Romani people is almost never represented. And this is a real problem. They're the sort of mute, silent scapegoat, and they have complaints of their own in these places. You know, it's a very sad situation when we have Romani civil rights leaders who think that, you know, what they need to do is be constantly distancing themselves from crime events that are being sort of artificially blown up in the media.
Isn't the problem that the Romani people themselves hardly get a say? Isn't that a problem as well, that the leaders seem to be either distancing themselves from the community, or there don't seem to be any leaders living in the actual excluded places? So the reporters, they can get some interesting color quotes from the people who live there, but no one really to talk about what the community wants and desires. What's the state of the Romani community in the Czech Republic?
Well, I think that what you're describing is a very accurate depiction, unfortunately, of the process of the sort of the reimposition of a society that is stratified by class in the Czech Republic during the course of the introduction of a market economy. You have people who are now living in great poverty, and then you have people who are managing to succeed in the competition that they've been faced with. And it is true that it is very rare for people who make it, for example, to university and are able to function at some sort of higher level. It is very rare for those people to really return to the communities where people are worst off and attempt to assist them. Now, that there are, I personally know many people who do this in the Roma community in the Czech Republic and who try to get allies for this work. But the biggest problem is that the numbers of the Roma minority here are really very small. And so it's hard when you take the fraction of those Roma people who are actually capable of being good advocates and using the legal system and the tools of democracy that are available. That's an even smaller fraction.
Well, the government a couple of weeks ago adopted this four-year strategy to tackle the issue. And for the first time, it seems that they actually listened to what the experts have been saying for years now, which is to do something about the phenomenon of placing Romani children in hugely disproportionate numbers, of course, in special schools. What do you think of the government's response to whatever is happening in Northern Bohemia and elsewhere?
Having watched the Czech government for the last 15 years or so, especially in its performance at international bodies, I am very cynical. My view is that what they're very good at, not just this government, but most of the preceding ones, is developing strategies that look very good on paper and promising, whether it's to the OSCE or to the UN or to the Council of Europe, promising that change is just around the corner and shifting the blame. This is what is really the most irritating when you hear a government claim that it has no power to address things. You know, there is a lot of money available from the European Social Funds and the European Structural Funds, which, if properly designed, could alleviate the poverty that exists in this country. Market processes are being allowed to run because they fall into the category of free market behavior and are therefore sort of given this untouchable status. So you have these people who are really ripping the state off. You have these landlords at these residential hotels who charge rent per person, not per square meter, and who are capable of charging large families living in very small rooms a rent that, if they were paying that rent even in Prague, they would be able to find more spacious, more dignified accommodation than they're finding in these small towns. Nobody is sanctioning this behavior. And there are all kinds of other sort of machinations that are going on. Also, the development of loans and loan services, commercial loan services, which are, you know, loaning to the poor at very, very high rates of interest. This has nothing to do with Roma or non-Roma or anything. This is simply about policy at local level, which the state definitely could begin to regulate more.
Do you see any risk of this problems being exploited like they were in Hungary, for instance? There seems to be a growing sort of part of the Czech political discourse focusing on traditional national values. We saw that recently with President Václav Klaus and other politicians and sort of public figures around him. Do you think that this poses a serious threat or risk for even for Czech democracy?
In the future, I think what will be important to follow and to fight against is exactly the development of just such a Jobbik party or a Le Pen figure. I unfortunately think that what is happening now with, for example, this very controversial figure at the Czech Education Ministry, Mr. Batora, I think that that process is unfortunately part of a sort of a testing of what Czech society will put up with. And when President Klaus leaves in 2013, it's entirely possible that he will try to become exactly such a figure. So, yes, I think this is a real possibility. I think the mainstream parties should be very careful that they clearly define themselves and that they keep their members with them. And I do think that depending on how long it takes for the EU-funded solutions to get going here in the Czech Republic, depending on how much further into poverty these really depressed areas are allowed to fall, there is a definite chance that Mr. Klaus will ride in on a white horse and fill that gap in the political spectrum.
Jan Richter was speaking to the Roma rights advocate Gwendolyn Albert in our interview program One on One this week. You're listening to Radio Prague. It's time now to learn Czech through music. Yes, it's Soundcheck with Daniela Lazarová.
Dvě boty v lásce mám, jsou sváteční, nosím je pouze zřídka.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by Valdemar Matuška and is called Boty toulaví.
Boty toulaví, takhle říkám jim, neboť můj krok prodlouží.
Boty toulaví means roving shoes, and as you can guess, the phrase refers to a wanderer, someone who can't abide to spend a longer time in one place. The phrase that it originally comes from is boty z toulavého telete, to have leather shoes made from a calf that liked to wander. A less poetic way of saying the same thing is to say nemá stání, he can't stand around. Have another listen to boty toulaví.
Boty toulaví horem nazovám, nechci žádný jinačí. Boty toulaví, který v lásce mám, neboť vůbec netlačí.
Valdemar Matuška sings about wanderlust. I love to put on my roving shoes. I'll have no other because these are the only shoes that don't pinch my toes. In Czech, you will hear people refer not only to their wandering or roving shoes, but also to their wandering feet, and not least to their wandering blood, toulavá krev. But of all of those, roving shoes is the most frequently used phrase.
Se má, neboť vůbec netlačí.
There are also expressions to describe the opposite. The expression for a homebody in Czech is domácí typ, in other words, a domestic sort of person. Or you can say that he is usedlej, which is derived from usídlit se, meaning to settle somewhere. So usedlej means settled. And a quaint expression used in the old days is kam ho ráno postavíš, tam ho večer najdeš. Where you put him in the morning, you'll find him in the evening. Often used to describe passive children who can spend hours playing in one place. Well, and I'm afraid that's all we have time to cover today. If you have boty toulavý, come visit the Czech Republic. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and nashledanou.
Boty v každém směru nejkrásnější jsou moje boty toulavý. Boty v každém směru nejkrásnější jsou moje boty.
The music of Valdemar Matuška ending Soundcheck this week. It was with Daniela Lazarová. And indeed ending Radio Prague for today. But please do go online and check us out. The address is www.radio.cz. English section there, of course. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us there as well. All mod cons these days, you know. Anyway, on a lovely, beautiful autumn day here in Prague. From me, Peter Smith. Until next time. Bye-bye.